Christians are sinners. Number one, a lack of priority. A lack of priority about that so great a salvation. Lack of priority. Priority meaning important. It's important. And a lot of folks say, well, preacher, I know it's important to get saved, and I'm going to do that, but not right now. Well, pastor, I know you're right. I know our family ought to read our Bible. I know we ought to go to church. I know we ought to pray. And I know that's important. But right now, I'm having to work a lot. You know, we're trying to pay for that new boat and that new car and that new house and that mountain cabin and that 45-inch color television and all those electronics. And my kids really like those big old giant iPads. They don't like the little ones. They like the big ones. And I got to get my 8-year-old a new iPhone 10 or something, you know, because she can watch videos on that. Better watch videos she's watching before she watches them. And I know that's important, preacher, but right now, pastor, you don't have to pay my bills. Pastor, you don't know my family. They believe that it's important, but they don't believe it's at the top of the list. And here's where it gets. When they get old and feeble and can't work anymore and can't go around partying and buying stuff and doing all these things, then they'll come dragging into church and they'll say, Lord, bless me if you can. Right now, they're having too much fun. They believe it's important, but they don't believe it's important enough. They don't put the so great in front of that salvation. Did you know our salvation as Christians is the most important thing in our life? Because it determines our eternal life. And then, not only does it determine our eternal life, it determines our happiness in this life. That's so great a salvation. A lot of people saved, but just barely so. And they're going to go to heaven, yet so is by fire. Their works will be burned up at the judgment seat of Christ. Because they didn't think it was so great. They thought it was great. They thought it was important, but they didn't think it was the most important. Well, preacher, right now, my family's young, you know, and we're just starting to accumulate stuff. I'd rather go to heaven happy, right in the middle of God's will, realizing what that so great meant, than to go sliding in at the last minute and getting everything that I ever did in my life burn up at the judgment seat of Christ. He said, well, I just don't like to be poor. Most everybody in this room has been poor. We've been poor. Matter of fact, most of y'all young people don't even know what poor is. You think poor is not having that big old giant TV and those phones and all that stuff. Poor is where you eat taters and beans one day and you get a variety. The next day you get beans and taters. Poor is where you can't go make you a bologna sandwich. You got to find you some old stale crackers and put some mayonnaise or mustard on them because that's the only thing you got in the house. Some of y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. Some of y'all have done it, amen? Poor is when there ain't no sweets in the house unless mama made some stickies. And 2/3 of you don't even know what a sticky is. It's the only sweet thing we ever got. Amen. I better quit. Poor is when the Bilos is in your backyard. And the deli is in the house. And you didn't know what eating out was. I don't know what eating out was. First steak I ever ate, I was 18 years old. My wife's mother fixed it for me. I was dating her and 18. And they invited me over here to eat supper with them. And she brought out a steak and a salad and baked potato. I'd never seen nothing like that. My steaks was always ground up. And my potatoes were mashed. And we didn't have salad. We had slaw. We didn't know what salad was. And I'm sitting there looking at those big old pieces of salad. I'm thinking, how am I going to fit that in my mouth without looking stupid? I thought this kind of looked like one of those pork chops mama's fixes, but mama's pork chops ain't but that thick, you know, and do I pick it up? her mama, she said her mama told her to tell me I was the nicest, most polite boy that had ever come to their house because I waited till everybody else started eating before I started eating. She didn't know I was the dumbest little boy ever been to her house. Amen. Y'all don't know what poor is. I'll tell you what, you go ahead and you try to get all that stuff and let your family go to hell and let your kids get pregnant early and let your boys get on drugs and go ahead and do all that stuff. And then when you get old, you're going to get right with God and you're going to come dragging into church and you're going to wish you had your family with you.
Amen.
Because you neglected so great a salvation. My kids ain't never had a problem going to church since I got saved. You know why? I never asked. There wasn't no discussion. Are we going to church today or are we going to Carowinds? No, we didn't have that discussion. Are we going to church today or are we going to go to the lake? We used to call it the river. Now they call it lake since Yankees bought up all that worthless property down there. No, we're not going to the lake. We never had that discussion. We just got up and went to church. Because I thought that the greatest thing I'd ever found was salvation in Jesus Christ. And I wanted my children to have it.
Amen.
And I didn't care if their flesh liked it or not. I knew what their spirit needed. Amen?
Yeah, come on.
Well, you know, some people, they neglect it because they're distracted. They get interested in other things right now. Well, preacher, I would come to church on Wednesday night, but my boy plays football for the school on Wednesday night, but he'd have to get off that team. Well, preacher, I would come to church. I'd bring my family on Sunday night, but you know, that's when we always go see Grandma. I'd see Grandma on Saturday. We did every Saturday, went or Sunday, either one. We'd go see my mama, but we always went to church. You see, you get sidetracked, you get distracted, and something becomes more important than that so great salvation that God gave so much to give to us. Well, I have to work. I'd quit. Boy, that's a shocker, ain't you? I heard some of you go, I did. I lost several jobs over working on Sunday. I told them at Duke Power, they said, you're going to have to start working on Sunday. I helped build that nuclear plant. You'll thank God that you don't live close to it. And they started working on Sunday. He said, we're working this Sunday. I said, I haven't been saved long. Well, you got to. I said, I don't got to. I work 6 days. I won't work seven. I'll be at church. And we're working the next one and the next one. And from here on, we don't know how many more we're going to have to work. I said, well, you won't see me. I was going to Eastside then. I said, unless you come down to Eastside Baptist Church, you'll see me. I'm not working. We'll write you up. I said, how many write-ups does it take to get fired? He said, 3. I said, save your time. Go ahead and write all 3 right now because I won't be here. Got quiet on that? Now, if you're a doctor or a policeman, that might be different. You're a minister. If you're a nurse, that might be different. But if you've got greasy fingernails, you can fix that car some other day. If you work down at the grocery store, somebody else can push those buttons. A monkey could probably do it. You work at Hardee's, you need to quit. Whether they work on Sunday or not. But look, here's the reason so many people neglect it, because not only is it a lack of priorities, but they have been distracted. See, the devil will give you anything in this world you want. He's the god of this world. And if all it takes is a new fishing boat to keep you out of church, he'll give you one. But then you're going to have to work Sunday to pay for it. Y'all heard about that preacher, every time they called his house, he was out on visitation. My joke number 15. Okay, y'all got my numbers, my joke's number. But there's some new people in here. They need to hear this. It's a deep spiritual matter, okay? They call the pastor, and they talk to the pastor's wife, say he's out on visitation. Another night, I need to talk to the pastor, he's out on visitation. That went on and on and on. Finally, one of the deacons said, well, we're going to go over there and see what's going on with the pastor every Tuesday night. Somebody, so they go over there, and out in his front yard is a big new fishing boat, and on the front it says Visitation. He'd been distracted. Amen?
Yeah.
He'd been distracted. Baptist preacher don't need a fishing boat. Let me go ahead and tell you that right now. As one, I can say that. Not only that, but they have a disregard because of bitterness. Yeah. Some people get bitter. They're not happy with their lot in life. Bump that thing down 1 degree, Mr. Temperature Man. They're not happy with their lot in life, and they blame God. They blame God for their lot in life. Now, I'm going to go ahead and tell you something that they're not teaching nowadays. Everybody can't be rich. Everybody won't go to college. Everybody will not be a doctor or a lawyer, and certainly will not be a basketball player or a football player that makes $50 million a year. Everybody can't do that. But I can tell you this, there's no reason to be mad at God for your lot in life. Matter of fact, if you would not neglect the so great a salvation, He might take care of you a little bit better. Well, preacher, I can't afford to tithe. You're a crook. God blessed you. All He asked you to do was return 10% by faith to show, not to pay the preacher, not to keep the lights on. I say that joking sometimes. But He does that in order for you to see that by faith you can live on 90% of what He gave you. You really ought to give more than that. By faith you do that. Well, preacher, I can't afford to do this. And I can't, preacher, I can't do this. And I can't do that because I'm too poor. Well, nobody's too poor to serve God. I've known, and I've used him several times, man working on a trash truck. He wasn't a driver either. He was a guy on the back throwing the trash up in there. Mr. Montgomery, who lived on disability all his life, walked up and down the street giving out gospel tracts, inviting people to church. Mr. Monroe, who came here, who was disabled and barely could get around. He was in my car every time I went on visitation. It's got nothing to do with money. It's got nothing to do with your lot in life. And if you'll be faithful with the little bit that God gave you, He'll give you more and take care of you. Some of y'all shooting for the lottery. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. I can't believe the preacher said that. Yeah, I said that. Yeah, every dollar you throw in there, you're showing, what you're doing, you're showing God, I can't even be trusted with a dollar. I can't be trusted with $10. I'm going to throw it in the trash can over here. And you just open that thing, scratch and sniff. It ain't a winner. You throw it in the trash. Y'all think I'm joking. It was advertised on television. They got them with smells on them now. There's a sucker born every minute. And you're going to win the lottery. Then you're going to start tithing. Why don't you just tithe that money you just threw into the lottery? I better go on. I can tell right now. A lot of people, they disregard the so great a salvation because they're mad at God. So they don't put much value into Christian life. They're mad at God because daddy didn't take them fishing. They're mad at God because mama didn't make their dresses for them. They're mad at God because they had a sorry husband that wouldn't work and he run off with somebody else. They're mad at God because they had a wife that kept them mad all the time. They're mad at God because they don't like the pastor they got. You wasn't supposed to say that's right. Yeah. There's time for everything in season. Yeah. But you know what? If you just get your heart right with God and look at what God's done for you in that so great a salvation. The Creator of the universe took on human form and suffered your hell on that cross. I better go on. You know, some people neglect it because there's just not any interest. They have a lack of interest. So they neglect. I'm afraid that's where our new generation is. They neglect the so great a salvation because they don't have any interest in the church. You want to know why, though? It's the church's fault. Because everything that's offered at the church, they can get it somewhere else without a commitment. The entertainment, the lights, the smoke, the weird music. A preacher's got spiked hair and he's 70 years old and got an earring. Amen. God help us. And the young people, this generation looks at the church and says, why I won't go down there? He ain't no different than the guy down there at the Dewdrop Inn. Why I won't go down there? Grandma's wearing the same pair of blue jeans she had when she was 17 years old. To church. They have no interest in the things of God. Because the people of God don't seem to have much interest in the things of God either. We're losing a whole generation. Did you know that term so great, the same words are used in Revelation chapter 16 verse 18. Let me read it to you real quick. Revelation 16, verse 18, it says, and there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great. If it's not important, why would he use it not only in salvation, so great, but in damnation, so great? Now, he used it because he wanted to tell people some things. Number one, because he not only has the power to give life, but he has the power to take life. Not only does he have the power to save, but he has the power to doom also. Romans chapter 1 verse 16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. There's God has just as much power in that so great in salvation as he does destruction. A lot of people, excuse me, will see a tornado or they'll see a hurricane or earthquake. And boy, they'll say, God's letting judgment fall. And he does. Sometimes that's it. God's letting judgment fall. But then they'll see their lost condition and they'll think that God can't save them. He put it there because God's able to keep. Jude 24 says, now unto him that's able to keep you and present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. Not only is that so great, it's so great enough to save you, it's so great enough it can keep you. Now don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. Because if everybody in this room was honest, the saved ones, we'd say, thank God he saved me, I wasn't worth it. But if we were to go farther than that, looking at the so great, we would say, thank God that he's so great, he not only saved me, but he keeps me, because I ain't worth keeping. Pity those people think they can lose their salvation, that God's salvation is not so great enough that he can't keep them. They wasn't good enough to be saved. Why do they think they'll ever be good enough to stay on their own saved? They need some help. We need help. And that's so great a salvation covers that. And then not only that, because that's a universal offer. For God so loved the world. Did you know this so great salvation is to whosoever will? Yes. Not just those who get baptized, not those that take the Lord's Supper, not those that quit drinking liquor, but whosoever will can come and drink of the water of life freely. That's a great salvation. Any other religion has no salvation that covers everybody. It's those that will make this sacrifice and those that will make this pilgrimage and those that will do their life this way and those that will join this. But he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's the whole world. That's everybody. Shame on us if we neglect such a salvation. And then it's a great promise. You know what? Did you know we've got this promise that our salvation is so great that it has removed the sting of death? It's so great we have eternal life. A lot of religions, their religion only covers them while they're living. And at the end they cease to exist. Jehovah's Witness, Mormon, whatever else it might be, I don't know. But ours, thank God, ours so great a salvation doesn't only save us and keep us, but it's going to present us faultless before His presence, and we have eternal life. We're going to live as long as God lives. But you know what? It only comes through the new birth. It's sad, and I know it's past 12 o'clock, but it's sad that Christians who neglect their so great a salvation, they lose their children to something besides that so great a salvation. I'll go a step farther than that. They lose their grandchildren to something besides that so great a salvation. And in the end, they lose their nation. That's just about where we're at. That's just about where we're at. There is a fight between good and evil today like nothing we've ever seen in our lives. And it's either all right or it's all wrong. There's no more in between. Those days are over where you get along with people because they were kind of in between. You could reason with them. Those days are over. You can't reason now because either they're all right, that's why they call it alt, right? Or they're all left or wrong. Because three generations now that we've grown up in have neglected the so great a salvation in their personal lives and in evangelism and in the church and in their politics and in whatever's done in this country. Now, it's three generations have neglected that. They've not evangelized. They've not told their children. They've not told their grandchildren. They've not told their neighbor. And they haven't put it in their politics or even in their churches now.
Amen.
And in the end, it'll end up destroying not only a person, but their children and their children and probably generations after that, which destroys a nation. Go back and read about Israel. I got to hurry. That word salvation in Jesus Christ produces some things. It took Israel out of Egyptian bondage. It took Noah through the flood. It took Lot away from the destruction of Sodom. But it gives us salvation of the soul. It's a gift of God. It's through faith alone. It's all apart from works, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saves us. Titus 3:5. It comes through a new birth. Now I'm preaching to the choir, I know that. But not only sinners can neglect that, folks. I'm preaching to saints. You see, it's easy for a preacher to get up here and preach against liquor because ain't many people in this building today drinking liquor. And it's easy for a preacher to get up here and preach against drugs. There are not many people under drugs today in here. And it's easy to get in here and preach against shacking up. Can I still say shacking up? Fornicating, adultery, a homosexuality. Boy, it would be easy to preach a sermon against a homosexuality today since I don't know of any in here. But it's hard when you look at a bunch of saints and ask them, are you neglecting so great a salvation? What are you doing with your salvation? How are you neglecting? Look, you're saved by grace through faith, that not of yourselves, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. I know that, but James says, show me your faith, I'll show you my works. There's some things that accompany this so great a salvation. And when you got it, and the Spirit of God moved in, you were so thankful there for a while, couldn't nobody stand to be around you. That's all you wanted to talk about. You wasn't listening to the Beatles, I want to hold your hand anymore. You're singing to the Lord, lift me up. Amen. And then over the years, things got in the way, and neglect got there, and distractions got there, and your burden got missing, and your heart got cold. And then you had to make yourself go to church if you went once a week, and you had to make yourself pray if you prayed at all. And you quit reading the Bible altogether. You got your little daily devotional with one verse in it and six verses of commentary. And you quit witnessing because you was afraid you was going to be called a hypocrite because you wasn't living like you should have been living in the first place. And now you've neglected your so great a salvation. And you can't understand why you go through the things you go through because you don't read Hebrews chapter 12 anymore where it says God chastens His children. You don't read it's a scary thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. You don't read that stuff anymore. When you want a little something, you turn on Joel Osteen because he's pretty and what he says is pretty. Well, he gets me positive thinking. I'm positive he's going to mislead you into the judgment of God and the chastisement of God. I know it happened. I've seen it happen. You better draw nigh to God and cleanse your hands, you filthy sinner, he said, and God will draw nigh to thee. Don't neglect your salvation. You know, men lose their wives because they neglect their wives. Women lose their husbands because they neglect their husbands. They lose their children. Men and women lose their children because they neglect their children. They lose their job because they neglect their job. They lose their health because they neglect their health. And all those are terrible things, but the worst thing you'll ever experience is neglect so great a salvation in Jesus Christ. Well, I'm glad I'm glad sometimes he knocks me down and then picks me back up.
Amen.
I'm glad sometimes he has to get my attention. I'm glad he doesn't give up on me. I'm glad he keeps on calling. I'm glad he keeps on pulling. I'm glad he keeps on chastening. Hey, I'm glad he keeps on loving when I'm unlovable, and he cares when I don't care. And listen, he's determined when I'm not determined, and that's in me. Because his Spirit's in me. And I don't neglect myself. I thank God, boy. Whew. It's been good to me. You don't know where I come from. Whew. Oh, man, the hate and the anger and the meanness and the ungodliness and the generations of it. And he reached right down in all that mire and that cesspool. And he grabbed me and he picked me up. And he set me on a solid rock. And he established my going forth. And now it's all in his hands.
Amen.
You go and you treat that any way you want to, but that's precious to me.
Amen.
Let's stand. Maybe today you're not saved.